17, if you would be as kind, please. Acts 17. Book of Acts. We're going to look at starting in verse 16. You ever heard of this word? This word is almost the gospel in some worlds. And I mean gospel. I mean, it's more important than anything else. Well, we're going to talk about that this morning, but we're going to talk about what's in your notes. Unfortunately, I cannot possibly teach all of this in one session. So let's all stand. We'll read together. This is going to take 2 or 3 weeks minimum just to deal. This will be the longest thing I will teach over the next months in this introduction to worldviews. So can I say this to everybody? The Bible has an answer about diversity. But it may or may not be the answer you're looking for, but it is actually the explanation. Why is this important? There is one thing that I can promise you. Everybody look up here for a moment, please. I can promise you this more than you believe. If you think we are diverse now, in 2024, if you'd have gone to the first century, you would have seen diversity. Because actually, we are more homogeneous now. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about worldwide. You know the number one symbol that you're influenced by America? I doubt if you're going to guess. Number one way you know you're influenced by America. You ready? Blue jeans. Do you realize most cultures that used to have their own form of dress now wear some kind of blue jeans? If you think we're diverse, yes, we are. We still have languages, cultures, foods, and I love all of that. I think we make the mistake that, oh, that's now. I mean, when I hear people talk about diversity, they're like, well, this is different. Folks, if you would have dropped yourself off in any country, I'm going to make 2 recommendations. You do whatever you want, of course. It will require you to actually do something. I would recommend you go to the Polish Museum. And if you ever had time, go to the Ukrainian Museum. It's smaller. You say, why? Because I want you to actually see diversity outside of our little world and what we're talking about. Because actually, the difference between an African American, and I'm being specific, and a white American is almost nothing in one sense. Culturally, really? Well, you go into other places in the world, and more so in the past. All right, Acts 17. I won't be able to convince you of this until one day you, by the way, you have to experience it. I cannot convince you of it. 17:16. And while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore, his response was he disputed. If you read anything from the 1500s, you're going to run across the word disputation. I would use the word argument, but that doesn't help us either because arguing means yelling in America. But we're talking about having a conversation, kind of a back and forth reasoning, working through things. He had that sort of a conversation in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons. Those would be the Gentiles that were in some way connected to the synagogue. And in the market, the agora, daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics. Now, by the way, people love to learn about stuff that doesn't matter. There are none of these today, but I'll read this. The most important thing is to see Paul's answer. That's what otherwise, when he's dealing with all these people groups, what does he say about God, the faith? Well, let's continue. They said, what will this babbler say? And that's probably not a compliment. What do you think? In Greek, it doesn't mean a babbler. It means literally a person that goes around, look up here, picking up seeds. One person compared this word to this. A person that doesn't have money to buy cigarettes goes around in Chicago picking up the butts and smoking what's remaining. It's a word that means picking up seeds. It is the most negative. Otherwise, Paul, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just picking up stuff and stirring it up. That's what they called him, a babbler. I don't think it was a compliment. He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him into the Areopagus. That is what it is in Greek. Ares Hill. Saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know thereof what these things mean. And then Luke adds this little comment. You know, he wasn't above telling the truth either. All the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of it. In the Greek, it's Areopagus again. We have Ares Hill, the Areopagus, the Greek farm, the Roman farm, or Latin farm is Mars, same God. Mars Hill, and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious, which actually means something like you're too religious, which is interesting. Verse 23, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, and from my understanding, archaeologically, they have actually found several of these, to an unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And here he begins describing, starting where you have to start with pagans. God that made the world, started creation, and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Can I say this to you? Look at me. Nearly 1,000 years earlier, Solomon, when he built the great temple, guess what he said? That exact same thing. He said, God can't dwell in the temple. This is just a place where God's going to manifest himself to his people. I mean, Paul's not making things up. He's just summarizing teaching from the Old Testament. He goes on to say, neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And by the way, friend, I taught this when I taught on the book of Job. Most religions around the world, you feed the god. Hey, look at me. I saw it in India. Did you hear me? I saw it a half a dozen times. Feeding and giving the god something to drink. Yeah, they get all mystical, but it's like, really? Because what? What is your god? Well, your god is just you. He goes on to say, seeing, why doesn't God need to be fed and taken care of? Well, he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And then you get to the heart of the matter, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Probably one of the most important verses in all of the scripture on peoples. So out of one blood, and I think some versions, blood is not in all Greek texts, it just says of one, but the idea is the same, of one humanity, one blood, all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And not only that, it is God that has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, meaning when they lived someplace and where they lived. All of that was God sovereignly working. For what purpose? That they should seek the Lord. Because why? By the way, before the Tower of Babel, were they seeking the Lord? So he separated them, if we believe the Bible, which we do, for what purpose? So that they would actually get away from their idolatry, and that they would seek the Lord. And he goes on to say, if haply they might feel after him and find him. And then Paul makes this beautiful statement, though he be not far from every one of us. That's also quoting or referencing an Old Testament text in Deuteronomy. He goes ahead in verse 28. For in him, meaning in God himself, we live. And this is not talking about Christians. We live, we move, and we have our being, our very existence. And then he even says, guess what? One of your own poets says as much. For we are also his offspring. So even the pagans had elements of truth. Verse 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by men and man's device. Then he concludes at least this summary. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at. God is very patient, long-suffering. He's drawing people, but he goes on to say, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, well, we'll hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. Among them, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagus, somebody that was in charge of this place to some degree, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Now, we're going to pray. Did you all hear the gospel? Look at me, please. Where does he start?
Creation.
Where does he end?
Resurrection.
Judgment and resurrection. And he really doesn't focus on the cross a little bit, but he focuses really on who God is and that God created us. But there's this beautiful passage about peoples, which I like. All right, let's pray together. We will get started. Wow. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Christ's name. You may be seated. Can everybody look at your notes and see the first four statements? Every week I'll put them there. I'm only going to teach four ideas. Because it's going to take 3 weeks, I'm going to have to repeat the ideas over and over. You'll get lost in this. I just want to say four things in your notes. God created one human race. Hello? Are we sure? Number two, God made all the races. I don't like the term because I think race does not help you very much when it comes to understanding people. God made all the races from that one human race. Do we all agree with that? By the way, it's what Paul says. Number three, God made space for each race. Or you could say God made a place for each race. So look at me in the eyes. When you meet people where they're from, putting people down, you've got a problem because the Bible says it's God that separated those people off to be there. There's just all kinds of racism in lots of people. I never can figure this out. By the way, you ever met a person, probably in this room, none of us have, maybe but a couple. Have you ever met a person that thinks they're a blue blood? Probably most of you don't even know what that means. Joseph, you ever met somebody like that? I'm a blue blood. You know, I'm from a pure lineage. You all come from exactly the same place. By the way, the same place I have. Please look at me. Some of you will do your... People get fascinated with ancestry. I like it. Here's how you know you're doing ancestry. You're going to find you have some people you wish you didn't know were in your genealogy. Did you hear me? I don't care who you are. You might even find out things that you don't want to find out. You might find out that great-great-great-grandma had children, and they didn't come from great-great-great-grandpa. Do you not know this? Mm-hmm. By the way, to me, these are fundamental issues. God made space or a place for each race. And fourthly, God chose one race. You know which race that is? White people? Black people? Jewish? Yeah, I think so. Through which to save all the different races. Lots of verses in the beginning. All of it's interesting for you. All of it should be thought of for you because it's all important, but we will go down to the beginning. I say under the verses, God forced Christians away from the roots of Christianity. Christianity started, obviously, in Judea, Galilee, and the surrounding areas. Where did he force? By the way, when I say force, when you read the New Testament, he forced. That's Acts chapter 8. He had to force them out. You say, what about the Great Commission? You know, I've met people, look up here, I've met people that have never witnessed to anybody in their whole life. I don't even know how you could do that. Unless you're hiding your Christianity, because sooner or later somebody's going to ask you. They were forced out, and they had to scatter around. And by the way, the moment they scattered around, they started encountering unbelievable diversity. Tim, I'm guessing they never met one like you. And that's not a criticism. Your genetics are very unique compared to anybody else on earth. By the way, do you not know this? Very unique. Denisovian. You can look it up, whatever it means. Now, I want to say what I learned years ago at the Ukrainian Museum in Chicago and the Polish Museum in Chicago. And I'm a great artist. All of you know this. Here's Poland.
You're not even trying now.
Here's Ukraine. Forgetting the border changes and all of that. I remember going there. I think I've read four major tomes on the history of Ukraine. I like history. The first thing you recognize is you say, these people are Polish. These people are Yukis. That's a slang. I learned that from a Ukrainian. That's what they call each other, Yukis. The weirdest thing was, I thought Polish people were... Then what you find out is they have... And again, nothing to scale, nothing like that. This is just an illustration. The whole country, again, I have to say it, traditionally, historically, if you were from one region, you dressed differently than from all the other regions. So when you walked into a big city, they knew exactly where you were from because of your diversity. Actually, I'm telling you, we are actually losing diversity, not gaining it. Big cities tend to make people homogenous. I read a book on linguistics, and it mentioned, Linda, help me, is it Lagos or Lagos? How do you say
Lagos.
Lagos. The big complaint was all the people from Nigeria go to Lagos. They lose their diversity. So when Paul showed up at Athens, he didn't see a bunch of white people, or black people, or Filipino. He saw more diversity than you've ever seen. Now, our friends in the Philippines, you know, Robert, where you're from, there are still elements of this. You have a different language. Maybe formally you might dress up differently. Is that correct? Now, please don't ever demonstrate anything you ever wrote here. Got it? And I'm not joking. By the way, cultures have that. I know down in the South, sometimes they will dress up in certain, you know, wherever their ethnic group is from. Folks, in Paul's day, that was the norm. When I saw this in Poland and Ukraine, and people that are deeply Polish and Ukrainian, if you come to a, you know, some kind of a formal event in your dress, and you're from, they know exactly where you're from. Now, again, we're actually losing. I'm assuming you know we're losing that. Losing it all over the world. I would tell you this. Cassie, I love Cassie. I have a question, Cassie, not a joke. Have you ever heard John F. Kennedy speak on, not live? You ever heard him speak at all?
Yeah.
What shocks you about his speech? Anybody?
He's got an accent.
It is extremely regional.
Yeah. Right.
Extremely. Yeah. When you hear him, when you hear him today, it's like we had a president that sounded like that. Today, because of TV, everybody has to have a broadly Midwestern accent. You can't have a deep Southern. You definitely, if you listen to John F. Kennedy, and sometimes it's like, whoa. Yeah.
Even Jimmy Carter.
But here's the difference. What's the difference with John F. Kennedy forward? Evan, what changes with John F. Kennedy? He was the first one that basically did this. Do you know what changed? One thing. Television. television. Isn't it weird to you that we have announcers on TV? What do you call them? News people? They all sound the same? They're trained into that. In Paul's day, diversity was every place you could look. So I say in your notes, God forced Israel, forced the Christians, not Israel, from the roots, and they forced them every direction. And guess what you found immediately? Diversity, 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 and diversity. Paul then deals with the peoples of the earth, and here's the key from God's perspective. And friend, this is very profound and helpful. Number one, we've already said it, but I'll give you the point. We'll read the verse. There's too much Greek, forgive me. God created one human race. Ex henos, hymatos. Out of one, henos, hymatos, one blood. All ethnos, every single ethnic group on earth came from one blood. Now, the other stuff we'll talk about as we move forward. But we must start there. So I say in your notes, when Paul looked at the obvious diversity. Friends, I don't want to belabor this. I love history. Most of you know that. I love archaeology. I read this stuff all the time. Last night I went to bed too late reading a book on the English Reformation. Why I like history, I don't know. But one of the fascinating things is when they used to make, and you can, by the way, if you do not go to this place, forgive me, shame on you. And I mean that. There's a little place, it's got a new name. Are you listening? When I'm speaking of you, I mean you. Used to be called the Oriental Institute at the University of Chicago. By the way, if you want to see stuff that comes right out of the Bible, this is the place. It is actually, I remember having a commentary on Daniel. I still have it by W.A. Criswell, with a lion with eagle's wings. That came from the University of Chicago, from Babylon. My point is this. If you go there, they'll have statues. You know, they would carve stuff on the walls in relief. Every culture was carefully, everybody had their different culture, and they put it in stone. Even how you did your beard, or how you didn't have a beard. And you see it. Diversity was normal. Now, did everybody like that? No. Actually, the Persians did a lot of this to say, we control everything. Mm-hmm. Remember what Esther says? We control everything from India to Kush, Ethiopia, King James will say. You know how far that is? They even controlled some of the Scythian peoples. And they're in their statues, or in their reliefs on walls, they have conical hats. Paul saw all of this stuff. It was every place, especially in big cities. So, in your notes, when Paul looked at the obvious diversity, he saw all over the Mediterranean world, he saw, and here's where we have to begin, a more fundamental unity. One human race. One human race. I say in your notes, I don't really care for the term race for a lot of reasons. First of all, it's horribly abused. And yes, it's only one human race. And can I say this more than that? It doesn't really help you very much. Because people have been, you're one of those Germans. I've said this before, if you came to this country, not your family, young lady, but my broad family, not my wife's family, people will say, yeah, my family's from Germany. No, they weren't. There wasn't a Germany before 1870. They didn't come from Germany. They came from a state in Germany, or what would become Germany. Germany was founded by a Frenchman, 1870. You all know this, don't you? Napoleon III. Invaded Prussia. Not only he got destroyed, but the German peoples came together and formed Germany. And they've been causing problems ever since. That's beside the point. Pastor Clark, you can quote that one thing. I think I sent it to you, where somebody's joking, you know, the most dangerous people on earth are Germans. When they get into a fight, they fight the whole world. And they did it twice. In your notes. What does this mean for us? Here's what it means. One common humanity or race. There's only one. Which, by the way, is beautiful, because when you're preaching the gospel to somebody, you don't have to worry about, oh, I don't know if Jesus died for you. You're like a kangaroo. No, there's only one human race. So whoever humans you encounter any place, the Lord has interest in them. I won't read all of this, but all peoples bear the image of God, male and female. Genesis 3:20 says that Eve, because she was the mother of all living. There's also one common image of God. The Imago Dei. Seems to be straightforward. Everybody bears it. For you that were here last Sunday morning, can you remember what the image of God is? We were created to work. We were created in relationships. We were created for worship. And I think I said we were created within. I can say it in different ways. Various structures are systems, are cycles, or what was the other, rhythms? By the way, if you want to know what the image of God is, that's it. You were created to work. Can I ask all your questions? Did you figure out, for you that were here last week, have you figured out your entertainment won't make you happy? Hold it. Have you figured out more entertainment won't make you happy? Or how about this? What's the nature of addiction? You have to have it, and you have to have... That's where God made us for these purposes. That's the Imago Dei. We all bear that. We all share that. We all have that. So, one common image of God, the Imago Dei. It's in the notes. We don't need to mention that again. No. See, these are always the same thing. One common humanity. One common humanity. We, in modern world, say Homo sapiens. I don't want to get into all the silliness of that, but basically, there's just one common humanity. I see in your notes, DNA seems to settle this once and for all. Oh, why, we all have the same origins. It seems to be very, very simple. I like DNA. I like science, but not good at it, just like it. DNA is interesting. You see all kinds of, but one of the problems is, if this is 100% of human DNA, you really get down to this. The differences in humans are unbelievably small. I don't know why that is. Why do we look different? Why are some of us good looking? Thank you, Mike. Why do some, here's my question, why do some of us have that much hair at that age? Now here's what's really weird. When you see somebody from Africa, it's hard to draw. There's more differences in the DNA of Africa than the rest of the world. Why? I don't know. Even among Sub-Saharan Africans, part of the genetics, part of the diversity. I like it. I would hate to think we all look as ugly and white as me. I prefer us to look different. How about you? Now, I can't say that of, by the way, I can't say that of all white people. I have to admit, there's plenty of white racists. And I've met them. And I've met a few black racists, too. Actually, I've met a lot of racists. I don't know why we have... By the way, in order to feel good about ourselves, why do we have to put somebody else down? Right. Can you please answer that question? Can I not feel good about... No, I can't feel good about your hair. That's out of the picture here. Can I not look at Inge here and feel good about him and feel good about me? It doesn't seem to be. We have to find some way of putting people down. You're this, you're that. And by the way, that happens every place, not just one place. from where I grew up, there was one really slander thing to say about somebody. And it made no sense. You're a redheaded stepchild. That was the bottom of the barrel. By the way, how many of you got in line and said, I want red hair? You don't make those choices. Okay, we'll move on. Well, I got to tell a story first. Angie, have you ever drawn blood yet? Do they make you learn to draw blood? Everybody look at me. Did you just hear what he said? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Let me give you a hint. Never let a doctor draw your blood.
They don't get enough practice.
Because they don't practice. Is that right, sister?
Yep.
People say, well, if the med tech or the phlebotomist can't do it, I have the doctor. Oh, no, no, no. By the way, in hospitals now, of course, they have those people with all that. When they put a midline in me, the technology has advanced since my dark years. Now, I'm just picking on Angie, of course. Would you want that guy? He looks at you and says, here, I'm here to draw your blood. Now, that's a joke. I obviously was trained in my first degree as a med tech. In medical technology, you have to learn to draw blood. You say, have you drawn blood? Tens of thousands of people. Say, were you good at it? Yes. I only had about two people in my entire life I couldn't get their blood. Tom, would you have any idea what those people had a problem with?
Sure, drugs.
Yeah, I mean, they were both heroin people. And they knew where to get blood from, but they had ruined so many veins that they didn't want to let you know where it was because then they couldn't use it anymore. Right. Well, I learned to draw blood. By the way, drawing blood, I got to be careful because sometimes there's people weird about blood. Is anybody here going to pass? I had a girl in my Bible class pass out. One time. By the way, it was your niece. One of the oldest nieces. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's Carrie.
I looked over her.
Me.
She put her head on the wall. She put her head on the wall, and then she just went out. And so I tell a simple story. Don't pass out on me.
We'll tell you when to stop.
When I talk about blood, it's about the needles that you're trying.
And he's on the end, he'll fall to the floor.
And his daughter will push him, so. All right, here it is. When you're in school, you have to learn to draw blood, of course. And actually, they abuse you and abuse you when you're in school, especially in the military. Boy, do we get abused. That's beside the point. And then down the road, you also have to learn to draw humans, because in the military, you also do your own blood banking. Atom, where do you guys get your blood from? Do they draw their own there, or do you guys get it from a source, or you don't know? A source. Cassie, you get yours from a source? Well, in the Navy, we drew our own blood, and we processed it. Now, this was before the 4,000 tests you have to do on it now. Anyhow, friends, the needle that you get that takes your blood at the doctor's office is small. When you draw a unit of blood, it looks more like this thing coming at you.
Yeah, this needle, oh God.
Sorry, Jamie. I'm actually trying to tell a story that's going to help you a little bit. I'm not trying to make Jamie pass out. Sorry, brother. I owe you. He ran right out of the Sunday school. You saw that. Well, I'll try to make this simple. I'm not trying to make this weird. So, this is what we did. When it came time to draw units, you did your first blood draw on one another. So somebody stuck me, I stuck some. Not a big deal. But when we went to do the real thing, I was at Bethesda. They send you out to places to draw. Now, honestly, most of them were good. You prayed that you went. Joseph, where's the place at? Somebody help me. It's the Marine Corps where they go to, the Marine Corps officers go in Northern Virginia.
Quantico.
You hope you go to Quantico. Because you get guys that run 3 to 5 miles a day. They have veins as big around. You can do it in your sleep. I'm telling a whole long story. Some of you are going to get lost, but I don't want you to get lost. I'm actually being very specific. I finally went on my first blood draw. And we didn't get to go to Quantico, we went to the FBI. And they come packing. You understand, they have their weapons with them. And I still remember a young woman, I don't remember what the weight limit was, 110, 115. And this girl, if it was 115, she weighed 115 with her boots and two guns on. She was tiny. A young African-American FBI agent. And my first thought was, actually, my first thought was, what do you tell somebody if you've never done it before? She has a gun. She's in the FBI. She can track me down. Now I tell the whole story. I told this story because it's actually, what are we talking about? How many humanity? So here it is. By the way, I have never missed anybody drawing a unit, period. Never. Now, you don't get drug addicts to come, of course, so it's a little better. So here's the deal. Your blood. Here it is. This is a nice young lady, FBI agent. Obviously, African-American. When I got done with the blood, and I know I could tell you how you know when you've got enough blood. You know, it's just part of your DNA after you've done it a while. Your blood, taped her off, held her. You know, hold it for 5-10 minutes. Make sure it doesn't get up in a bruise. Did all that stuff. When I got the blood ready, here's the whole story. I didn't put it in the black blood box. I put it in the human blood box. Because there's only one kind of blood, human blood. Now, without being weird, I know things that you don't know. Probably. Yes. There's A, there's AB, there's B, and there's O. And then there's negative positive. Yes or no?
Yes.
If you remember back that far. And yes, Asians are going to predominantly be O. There's a little difference. But by the way, you don't say, we don't want to give this to a white person. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. By the way, friends, we're all human. I tell the kids, and the kids, some of them get it, some of them don't, in Bible class, you know if you followed 10 people that look differently around, you know what you're going to find? Every one of them sleeps. Please tell me which group doesn't sleep. Every one of them smells if they don't take a shower. Every one of them eats. Vast majority of what we do is quite human. You say, well, they wear different clothes. By the way, I love that. But that means nothing to me because when you strip that away, we're just human. Now, do you understand the purpose of my concept about drawing blood? Not to run Jamie off. It was what? How many kinds of blood are there? Human. And friends, you can give within the variations. I don't need to get into that stuff. Universal donor, universal recipient. I'm sure all the nurses here know that stuff. I hope they do or their doctor does. That's what I hope. Any questions? Does that make sense to you? Yes or no? So you can be the most racist white person on earth, but if you're a med tech drawing blood, guess what you do? You take that blood and you put it into the... It's just that simple. Look at me. Do you know Paul said that nearly 2,000 years ago, before we even knew about transferring blood and giving people blood and blood types? He said there's one henos hematos, hematology, one blood. He didn't make something up. And here's Christians. I'm nervous around evolution. What are you nervous about? Paul wasn't nervous. I love this nonsense that we have, and we'll get past that. We won't talk about that in your notes. We also have one common... Well, let's see if we can read Romans 5:12 and see if we have an issue here. Wherefore, as by what? Sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon some men, but not all, right? Why? For that all... And I think this is implied, I think it's required, so that all have sinned in this one man, in Adam, of course. We have one common problem. Yes or no? So look at me. No matter where you go, you say, oh, they're different than us. They speak a different... Friends, they might be look different than you. They might speak a different language. Their skin tone might be different, but they're still, they have the same problem that you have, called sin. One human, one common problem, and by the grace of God, this is beautiful. One common what?
Solution.
You see, if, look at me, friends, if there's, and I won't have time to talk about this, but it's important, if we all evolve.
Hello?
And we evolve from different places, that means we have no inherent unity. Which means the last Adam can only save one group. We all come from one human blood, friends. Yes, there's lots of diversity, and there's lots of reasons for that, and the spreading around the world, and all of that kind of talks about it, but... It's just one problem, one solution in your notes. First, we'll skip to Romans 5:18 for time. Paul says this in Romans 15:22, for as in Adam, by the way, everybody is in Adam. Federally, where he represents us, similarly, we're part of his genetics. And he says, and all those that are in Adam do what? Even so. Now, these aren't equivalent because not everybody's going to be in Christ, but all those that are in Christ shall be made alive. You see, first Adam, last Adam. Gotta have it. And by the way, Paul didn't make it up. We still have one blood. Can I say this? I've been saying this guy is Denisovian, but you know what else I know? He's human. I don't know what your blood type is. Do you know, Tim? Whatever your blood type is, there's people in this room could give you blood, undoubtedly. The most rare is going to be AB positive, and AB negative is the most abnormal. But that's the universal recipient. So if you're an O like me, I can give that person blood. Friends, we are unified. So Paul looked at all of this diversity. And again, more diversity than you've ever seen. Because it wasn't the Polish people. It was every tribal group was different. If you want to read about this from the Roman perspective, let me see who wrote the book. Was it Pliny or Tacitus wrote a book on the Germania, and he basically explained Germanic tribes tribally as he understood them. They knew that there weren't Germans. There were just all of these groups with different languages, different cultures, different habits, different dress. But yet, one. All right. I would tell you this also in your notes. One common, absolute, dependence on God. Paul's big emphasis, friend, is it doesn't make any difference where you're from. You are 100% dependent on God. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything. He's not dependent on you. You're dependent on him.
Amen.
Seeing he giveth to all. By the way, that's every group. Life, Zoe, breath, and all things. And then later he says, for in him we live and we move. We get kinesthetics from that. And have our being, our very existence. I say in your notes, only scripture gives us an account of human origins that's not fudged. Timothy Tom, I want to ask because I'm using a word. Do you know what it means to fudge? Make something up?
Fake it.
Fake it? Cheat.
Right.
I read an entire book on genetics by a Jewish guy that's smarter than me. Whole bunch. Brilliant guy. You know what he had to do in the end? He has to demand that we're all human. Even though in his view, we all evolved in different places with different people. Sometimes you're going to hear this, there was this Eve, but if you read the whole study, you'll find out there was this kind of a, are you ready? An Eve figure from here. Well, what about the rest? The Bible, look at me, 2,000 years ago, nearly, Paul said, there's only one human blood. And God created that one humanity. Can I have a what? An amen. And by the way, that's what unifies us. And that's where Christianity begins. It's going to begin and end that, yes, we're different. Got all of that. Paul saw all of that. But we're all connected through one common humanity. Let's read the rest of this. Next week, we'll pick up with the second idea. Modern evolution struggles with common humanity. And trust me, if you actually read them, they cannot explain the unity part. They're good on the diversity, but they can't explain the unity. I say in your notes, some posit some kind of an E figure so as to keep us together, but it is fake or fudged, meaning they're cheating. Of course, I know you already know this. The Origin of Species, the book, was highly racist, friend. It was all about the favored, look at me, favored races. So what I really love is, look up here. When people want to teach evolution, let's not talk about where this came from. This came from that white people were at the top of the evolutionary chain. Why are you trying to hide something? Paul told us 2,000 years ago, that ain't true. What's true is God made one humanity. Yes, we're going to talk about next week, God made all the races from that one human race. We'll pick up there next week. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Christ's name.